to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 57 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh my God, what a great weekend of racing. Well, Daytona is in the books. No matter how you look at this past weekend, it was legendary from so many perspectives. Whether you like plate racing or you don't, there are both positives and negatives to take away from this past weekend. From the wrecks to the finishes, there is a ton to talk about. Everyone has been expressing their views on Twitter and on social media about the wrecks, the cautions, the finishes. I don't know if there's a right or wrong response. There's objective responses. There's emotional responses. And personally, in my opinion, they all have a little bit of validity. And I am obviously going to get into all of that here in a little bit. But in my opinion, one big takeaway from this past weekend is NASCAR has some buzz around it. And that's something we haven't had in a while, and it's not a bad thing. Real quick, big shout out to everyone that came to the Daytona party here in the NASCAR Man Cave. Had a blast, ton of food, some drinks, great time. Big props to Brad and Chloe Yunker of Yunker Motorsports who made the drive up to come hang out. And special guest in the NASCAR Man Cave tonight, my uncle stepped in to check out the show. What's up?
We doing?
What up?
We're good.
All right, guys. I got a huge show lined up for you guys today. Obviously going to talk to races from this past weekend at Daytona and get you ready for Atlanta. Aaron will be on in a little bit to tell us what we can expect weather-wise from the show. The Wave Around Hotline's going to fire back up where I'll take your calls for the Lucky Down and Lap Down picks from Daytona. And a huge interview in a little bit with the Xfinity Daytona winner from Junior Motorsports, Tyler Reddick, is going to be on the Lap Traffic Podcast. That's right. You heard that right. 3 days after his epic win at Daytona, Tyler Reddick will be on to take us through his win this past weekend at Daytona. Big, big thank you to everyone out there, Lap Traffic Nation, that has helped spread word about the Lap Traffic Podcast. You guys are incredible. This past week, the preview Daytona show set two records. Most number of downloads in a 24-hour period and most number of downloads for the first week of the show. It's incredible. You guys rock. Thank you so much. All right, and real quick before I get rolling, big thanks for DraftKings for sponsoring the show the last 2 weeks. And on a random note, if you or anyone might want to sponsor the show, hit me up. All right. What do you say we talk some racing? Well, we started this weekend with the trucks. Friday night, stage one winner, David Gilliland. Stage two, Johnny Sauter. And your winner, Johnny Sauter. Man, Johnny basically drove a perfect race this weekend from scoring perspectives, finishing stage one in second, winning stage two, and bringing home the checkered flag for his third Daytona victory. Before I talk about the race itself here a little bit, I'm setting a theme for the truck and the Xfinity and the Cup races here. The common theme for this evening is going to be caution laps. Truck race saw seven cautions for 35 laps for a total of 87.5 miles of the 250-mile race. 35% of the truck race was run under caution. I don't know. You guys tell me on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Is that too much? What do you guys think about the number of caution laps? And as you see, like I said, that's going to be a theme for the evening. Another theme for this evening is close finishes. Sauter won by less than a tenth of a second over Justin Haley in what pales to comparison to the finish of the Xfinity race, which we'll get to that in a minute. And hey, how about Front Row Joe bringing it home third? Congrats to him. Some unfortunate finishes for some guys. Lap Traffic alum John Hunter for getting involved in a wreck, finished 25th. A couple other guys out there did not finish too well. Noah Gregson, who a lot of people picked in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, did not favor too well. Travis Quappel, Jennifer Joe Cobb down there. Stuart Friesen, wasn't expecting him to bring it home 27th either. But some maybe surprise finishes. Jordan Anderson. Jordan Anderson is pretty much self-funded out there and brought home a top 10. His first top 10 in any of the major series, which is pretty cool. Matt Crafton, who I picked, not the best night for him, getting involved in a wreck there and bringing it home 19th. Standings, Johnny Sauter leading the pack, 19-point lead over Justin Haley. Let's see, Joe Nemechek, he's in fifth, David Gilliland in sixth, Ben Rhodes in seventh, Matt Crafton all the way down in 12th. But obviously the standings are definitely going to change as the season progresses. You know, I got to tell you guys, I am really looking forward to the truck race on Saturday afternoon. That surface, the trucks, the setup, the young guys out there, those guys are going to be all over that 2 mile track at Atlanta bouncing around, and I am very excited for that. Trucks, the second of the races on Saturday. Trucks are running at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, so make sure you get dialed into that. All right, let's talk some Xfinity racing at Daytona. Kyle Larson and a couple of the Cup guys dominated the race early on. Kyle Larson winning stage one, Chase Elliott winning stage two, but your winner, Tyler Reddick. You know, so to continue with my theme of cautions for the evening, Xfinity race put us definitely through an emotional roller coaster. We were supposed to run 300 miles in 120 laps. We end up running 143 laps for 357 miles. Of those 143 laps, 49 were ran under caution, 122 miles of caution laps. Again, 34% of the Xfinity race was run under caution. I think you guys see where I'm going with this. But real quick, some shout-outs to some lap traffic alum. Cole Custer for his top 15. Jeremy Clements for his 16th-place finish, along with Ryan Truex for his top 10. All right. You guys know from time to time that I like to go on some rants every once in a while. And the professor here is setting up for a rant about the Xfinity race, about plate racing, about Daytona. And to be honest, you know, I kind of was jotting down some notes here. As you guys know, I create one lengthy show sheet. And so I'm just going to kind of skip to the end on this. The closest finish in NASCAR history, you know, I was on the edge of my seat for a very long time for that finish, basically five overtimes worth. Some of you may recall that I tweeted out on Twitter with 10 to go that we were going to have two overtimes. And after the third, I was like, are we seriously going to do this? And then after the fourth, I'm like, all right. So I strapped in. I was ready for two cars to finish that race. I'm not even going to lie about that. So the question about the right or wrong opinion that I kind of talked about at the open, was the finish exciting? Absolutely, that finish was exciting. Was it worth all of those cars getting tore up? You know, the logical professor in me says no. But I'm the same person that sat here last season and said the overtime line needed to go at Dover when they wrecked. And I said, we need to line them up and do it again. So where is the line in plate racing? And I don't mean the overtime line. I mean, what's the line of what is acceptable? You know, I was sitting here watching the race Sunday with Brad Yunker, and he flat out said, from a driver's view, you tell me I can't fit my car somewhere, and I'm going to go put it there. Which, you know, I really never thought about it from that perspective. Hashtag, I'm not a driver. That said, I'll sit here and listen to sports talk radio baseball season talk about the luxury tax and how much money Miguel Cabrera is going to make. And I'll say, hey, it's not my bank account. I don't care. Do we need, as fans, to apply that same logic to plate racing at Daytona? Everyone involved knows the potential outcome at Daytona and Talladega. So can we as race fans admit that we don't know how much, or that we do know how much these owners and teams and sponsors are spending on a race, and know as fans that that amount of money could pay off our personal debt and then some, and probably retire off of for one race weekend? Can we as fans give into the guilty pleasure that we had on lap 143 of that Xfinity race? And I say to that, hell yes, we can. We love this sport. So knowing that this is not the norm, knowing this is part of the sport, plate racing contributes and helps give NASCAR its character and its identifier in the sport. It's the cage match or ladder match of wrestling. If every match were a cage match, it'd get old. From a racing perspective, plate racing is 4 out of 36 races a year. So, what has this little mini rant led to? It has led to me having more of an open mind on plate racing. But who knows if you guys really care what my opinion is on plate racing. What do you say we get to someone's opinion that actually matters? What do you say we talk to Xfinity Race winner from this past weekend, Mr. Tyler Reddick? Joining me on the line, driver of the number 9 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet Camaro and winner of the PowerShares QQQ 300 at Daytona International Speedway, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, Tyler Reddick. Welcome back. Congrats, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Are you still on cloud nine, or has it reached reality yet?
I don't think it's reached reality, to be quite honest. Still really, really just in shock that we were able to finish the race, let alone win it. But it was just a dream week. Everything went right.
Man, that's so cool. All right, so walk us through the race on Sunday. You were really consistent through both stages in the top 10. What was the vibe throughout the early part of the day? And then what was it like going through 5 overtimes, trying to keep the lead over the last few restarts? I'm still emotional thinking about that race, and I was, just sitting on my couch. So can you walk us through your mindset throughout that race?
Well, our game plan from lap one was to just try and put ourselves in the best position possible for the end of the race. And whether that meant run up front all day long or, we never really got there till the end, it didn't really make a difference. Obviously, stage points are big. We want to try to get as many as we can. But big picture is finishing the race and getting a good finish at the end and trying to put ourselves in position to win. And right off the bat, before we were even involved in that first wreck, we were having some difficulties with an exhaust leak or something of that manner that was just taking away the horsepower in the car a little bit in certain areas and certain instances. So, we just said, excuse me, goodness. All right, apologies.
No, no worries.
We were able to survive all the way to the end of the race, and that gave us a chance to win it. We missed 3 or 4 wrecks that really, really could have took us out completely, especially counting the last one. It knocked almost everybody out that was left, so just survived.
That's awesome. All right, so let's something I was thinking about that I had to ask. All right, so we're going through 5 overtimes. What was the did you guys have a fuel conversation with Dave, or was he telling you were good the whole time, and did he come back afterwards maybe and say, hey man, we were really close on fuel there?
Yeah, we were really good on fuel almost the whole race. We had plenty to go to the end. We had enough for like 3 overtime attempts, and then we had 5. So I wasn't saving fuel because we were so far to the good, and we had enough for a couple overtime attempts. And it seemed like every time I'd save fuel and shut the motor off, whenever I'd fire it back up, it was struggling to get going again. So until I actually figured out we never really truly figured out what was wrong with the motor until the race was over. So I was thinking that whatever I was doing when I was saving fuel was making the problem worse. So we didn't save any fuel until the very end there. And it had us worried, but we had enough fuel left in the thing to do a burnout afterwards and drive a pit road.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It worked out.
All right. So what's it like to know you are a part of history, winning the closest race in NASCAR history? And what went through your mind when you actually were able to watch that replay and see how close it was? And what was it like battling a guy like Elliott Sadler there on the last lap?
Well, I've raced against him before. He's a very good driver and very talented. He's been around the sport for a very long time. And just to hold him off, even by that little, was really special. To be able to say that, I have the closest margin of victory in NASCAR is just pretty darn special too. It was just quite an incredible way for Xfinity's 100th race to go down. And I'm just really thankful that you know, they put it on. They've been a part of, you know, this series and sponsored it and helped us get our names out there, because it's given us guys, us young guys, a chance to get to the Cup Series.
Absolutely. Okay, so talk to me about pit stops for a minute. You know, from a spectator perspective, changing four tires and fuel in any amount of terms and seconds is crazy. But going from six guys to five guys and the new standard pit gun, what was pit stops like from you? Did it seem like it was taking forever? And what was your involvement in getting the pit crew ready? What was the practice like with the new changes to pit stops?
Yeah, the practice is much different. You know, just the pace is a lot slower. The guns sound different. Just understanding that timing of it is important. And now with the change in from six to five, things that you would do coming into the box to help pick up time actually hurts time now. And you just have to change some things around. But unfortunately for us, we never really got to practice pit stops or real true line pit stops at all throughout the race, being that we got caught up in the wreck so early. So from pretty much lap one, we weren't really focused on having a fast pit stop. We were just trying to get the car fixed.
Sure.
And make it better. So we never really got to try that out, so I guess we'll
find out, right? All right, so last season, you were on the show after your win at Kentucky with a partial seat at Chip Ganassi. Can you talk a little bit about the transition and move over to Junior Motorsports for a full-time ride? What was the off-season like getting ready with the new team?
It was different. Obviously, the atmosphere is a lot more, you know, it seemed more family-oriented. Everyone knows each other. Ganassi was a big shop with Cup in it, and Xfinity cars, and a lot of engineers and a lot of serious people. And Junior Motorsports seems a little more laid back. Everyone obviously works really, really hard. Maybe you get that family environment. You just feel that more so the Junior Motorsports than you do in a place like Chip Ganassi Racing. So shop's smaller, not as many people, but the quality of people is still there, no doubt. And They've pumped out five wins out of the last nine races at Daytona. So they know what they're doing on the super speedways.
Absolutely. That's awesome. All right. So new team, a win under the belt already, basically a lock for the playoffs. What's that do for your mindset this early in the season with a new team and all that? Does that, do you keep the pressure on? Are you able to focus more knowing you can relax a little bit more? What's that mindset like?
That's just going to help me hone in more. We'll just go to work and, you know, Atlanta, I think we got a pretty good car. We tested there about a month ago and we were really happy with our speed. And I'm really excited to get there, and hopefully it's as warm as it can possibly be when we run our race. But from about this point until playoffs start, you know, we're going to be experimenting a little bit. We're not going to be afraid to go out of the box to try and find something that'll help us when it comes time to run for a championship.
Awesome. All right. So speaking of Atlanta, you've got only two truck starts at Atlanta. No Xfinity starts yet. What's the preparation like heading into a track that's with a challenging surface like Atlanta has?
So it's been really nice. I don't want to say everything that I've done, but basically the best way I can put it is the more you prepare and whatever fashion that may be, the better you're going to be, especially when you're going in a place you don't know a lot about or don't have a lot of lap time or seat time around. So
sure.
I had a blast at our test, learned a lot of things, made a lot of mistakes. So when we come back, I won't be making those mistakes. And it was definitely one of the most fun tests I've ever done. That place in Darlington are the two funnest racetracks that we could go to and test at, next to Homestead, obviously. So anytime you get an opportunity to test an old racetrack, it's always a blast. And I definitely had a lot of fun and learned a lot about myself and the car and the team as a whole.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Tyler, you want to hit your sponsors and tell everyone where they can follow you at?
Yeah, you can follow me at Tyler Reddick on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Obviously, huge shout out to BurgerFi being on board on the car at Daytona. Got our first win with them on the car. A lot of those people were at the Kentucky race last year when I won that race, but they weren't on the car. Huge shout out. Also, another huge shout out to Nationwide Children's Hospital coming on board. announced that earlier today.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, they're going to do multiple races. They'll be on the car for Atlanta. So excited to get down to Atlanta and have them on the car. And hopefully we can, you know, get them a win too. So we'll just see how it goes.
Awesome. All right. Well, Tyler, big thanks for coming on the show. Driver of the number 9 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet Camaro and winner of the PowerShares QQQ 300 at Daytona International Speedway. Tyler, thanks again for coming on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Good luck this weekend in Atlanta, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Very cool of Tyler Reddick to call in this evening, talk about his win. Oh, it's so exciting to get the perspective of these guys so fresh off their win. You know, I got to say, you know, when I asked the question, how much is too much? You know, a wise person actually just mentioned to me that it's too much until your driver gets knocked out. And that's also pretty intense and probably accurate opinion there. All right. Again, big thanks to Tyler Reddick for calling in and talking on Lap Traffic. All right. The feature, the main, the 60th running of the Daytona 500 is in the books. Kurt Busch wins stage one and looked like he might go back-to-back with 500 wins. And then thought maybe Almirola was going to get the job done and get Stewart Haas Racing back-to-back wins. Paul Menard wins stage two. I can assure you he didn't crack a smile. Winner Austin Dillon brings home the checkered flag and the number 3 to victory lane on the 20th anniversary of Earnhardt Sr.'s 1998 win. From that regard, you got to love the history that win brought to NASCAR. Man, great run by Bubba Wallace in the 43. First Daytona 500, kept the car clean all day, almost brought the checkered flag home to Richard Petty Motorsports. I am officially done homering out for Kevin Harvick at Daytona. I'm just going to accept the fact that he's got his Daytona win from 2007 and happily move on. And my goodness, Jimmy Johnson's woes continued early on. The only good thing, I don't remember where I heard it from. I think the MOATF podcast I listened to today. He was able to go home early, you know. But I tell you what, I know he was disappointed and would have rather been out on the racetrack. All three races, the Clash, the Duels, the 500, just could not escape the bad luck that Daytona does bring. A lot of favorites did not favor too well. Like I said, Johnson 38th, Chase Elliott. A lot of people had high hopes for him this Sunday, finished 33rd. Keselowski, the Detroiter, 32nd. Harvick, 31st. Stenhouse, 29th, which I know there's a lot of opinions floating around about Stenhouse out there. And the Busch brothers, who started 11th and 12th, finished 25th and 26th. How about Kyle Busch, man? It was just a bad day from the start, losing a bumper, getting a speeding penalty when he was three laps down. And unfortunately, that was not the last run Danica was hoping for. Definitely unfortunate for the way her day ended up. That said, you definitely had some guys able to take advantage of your typical Daytona race. Bubba finished second. Now, the question is that out of the ordinary, or is that going to be something we can expect out of Bubba Wallace in the 43 team? I am definitely excited to follow his journey this season to see what is the norm for Bubba Wallace. Chris Buescher gets a top five. Michael McDowell and his new ride at Front Row gets a top 10. Justin Marks, Trevor Bayne, David Gilliland gets top 15s. How about the 43 and 11 on social media? They got into it at the end of the race with some comments that Bubba made towards Denny. And, man, that's like I said, there's buzz around the sport. There's buzz from the finishes. There's buzz from the drama. Like I said, whether, you know, what's the old saying? Negative press is still good press. And hey, there is buzz around the sport. And hopefully that continues. Hopefully we can get some viewership. Props to Daytona for selling out, which is awesome. Hopefully the trend continues. Hopefully Atlanta draws a nice crowd, and we can start to see some fuller race stands out there this season. Only 10 drivers finish on the lead lap. And to conclude my theme of the evening on caution discussion, the 500 saw 8 cautions for 37 laps. So of the 517 miles, we had 92.5 miles of caution laps for 18% of the race. So down a little bit from the truck and Xfinity. But in total, this weekend, we ran 1,125 miles, 450 laps. When it's all said and done, 121 caution laps, 302 miles. 27% of the races this weekend were ran under caution. Is that too many? Is that Daytona? You know, obviously, we're not going to see that high of a percentage as we go on, but I'm curious to see when we get to Talladega here in a few weeks if the trend continues in terms of the number of cautions. You guys tell me what you think of that. One thing I do want to mention, it's been all over social media. They said it, I believe, in Victory Lane. Dylan's locked into the playoffs. No, he's not locked into the playoffs. It's a high probability he's going to make it to the playoffs. 16 drivers make the playoffs. There is more than 16 drivers running for the Cup Championship. We could potentially have 17 different drivers, which would mean the last place with a win still doesn't make it. Or you could have a driver with a win technically fall out of the top 25. Now, do I think either of those two are going to happen? No. Would I love to see 17 different winners in a season? Absolutely. Sherwin and I were talking about this earlier today because I literally had to text him. I'm like, am I missing? Like, I'm right here in my thought process, right? Just because I needed confirmation because I was literally losing my mind seeing all the tweets locked into the playoffs. It's not locked in. It's a really, really good probability, and I wouldn't bet against it. But just keep in mind that it's technically not a lock. So I guess that's a little second mini rant of just my annoyance and how things are said. Anyways, I digress. All right, over to the standings for the Cup. Ryan Blaney with his incredible finish with the duels and the race is actually leading the standings with 58 points. Joey Logano is in second. Austin Dillon, our race winner, in third. And Bubba Wallace is sitting in fourth. And big smiler Paul Menard wraps up the top five. Michael McDowell in sixth. Denny Hamlin in seventh. Newman is in eighth. Chris Buescher in ninth. Eric Almirola in tenth. I will guarantee we see some shifting here in the standings over the next couple weeks. Cup guys, 2:15 start on Sunday at Atlanta, the bumpy track. You know, there was talks they were going to repave it this past season, and everyone said, no, we love the character of the track. We want to keep it. I don't know. Are we going to be able to convince Atlanta Motor Speedway to keep the track? What shape is it going to be in after the race? I love the fact that the track's got some character. So hopefully we get another season with the track the way it is at Atlanta. Another interesting note, only 36 cars entered. Everyone will make the race just like everyone made the race this past weekend. It's kind of weird and odd not to see them have to send somebody home with the Daytona 500. But hell, I could go show up on Sunday if I wanted to because the field's only got 36. There's room for 4 cars. Maybe I'll go show up at Atlanta. Probably not. But anyways, there's a lot of buzz going around that, too, this weekend in terms of what does that say for the sport when you can't even fill the field for the Cup races? And that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on this season. We saw some smaller fields last year with 38, 39 cars. I don't know we had 36 last year. I'm drawing a blank on that one. But only the second race in the season, and we're not going to have a full field. So that's going to be an interesting trend to watch this weekend. All right. That's enough of me rambling on about the racing. Let's do some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like it on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, and Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, auto-download on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Blueberry, Acast, and leave some comments, too, obviously, if they're good. And don't forget to check out at Detroit Sports ENT on Twitter and their website if you're in the mood for a little Detroit sports happenings. Still working on a new contest. You guys tell me What would you like to see for a giveaway? You know, you can shoot me an email or send me a tweet at LapTrafficPC. Some shout outs to some new followers over on Facebook. Allison Knott from Yellow Dirt, Georgia, big 48 fan. Welcome to the show. Joy Hobbs from Newport News, Virginia. Welcome. Over on Twitter, Carrie Jensen at Carrie Jens underscore Carrie from Pittsburgh, big Truex Jr. fan. Nicole Stanley at Nicole L. Stanley from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Another Michigander to the show. Welcome. She's also a Mini Cup driver. Glenn McGee at Racer McGee, who is a Mazda development driver, gave the show a follow. Welcome. Pete Noel at the underscore EVP, big NASCAR fan and pro photographer from Long Island. And Jeff Moon at Jeff Moon 510 from DeWitt, Michigan, another Michigander. Love that we're growing the Michigan fan base. Big fan of racing and a firefighter, which is awesome. Everyone, make sure you bookmark the Amazon portal link on the website for your Amazon purchases. That'll help support the show. Do you want a t-shirt? You want a mug? You want a hoodie? I got it on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I've sent out a bunch of stickers and koozies to everyone. I love getting the tweets with pictures of your koozie full with your favorite beverage. If you want a Lap Traffic koozie, shoot me an email on thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Go to the contact page, fill that out with your name and address, and I will mail one out to you. If you've got any fan mail, the Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. And now it's time for a little weather. All right, let's see what the weather is shaping up for this week at Atlanta. Back this week from raceweather.net, Aaron Studwell, who you can follow on Twitter at raceweather. Aaron, welcome back. How's it going, my man?
Good, yourself, sir.
Excellent, excellent. All right, before we get into the race and the weather, go blue, baby.
Go blue, three in a row.
Three in a row. Up to 17 in the rankings. I'm liking the little run they got going on here.
Hockey too. Don't forget hockey.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Between NASCAR, baseball, football, a podcast, the wife literally gives me the most evil eye the second I mention hockey and basketball. I get to watch March Madness. You know, we'll go up to the bar and watch some games. But if I like even remotely hint at putting the TV on that in the house, like it doesn't happen. Like.
They're on opposite the truck race anyway, so yeah, right. You wouldn't have seen it. But they swept Notre Dame this past weekend, and looking good for the Big Ten tourney.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. What'd you think of the racing this weekend?
I think all three races, I was on the edge of my seat. My son was over Sunday. We were both screaming at the television multiple times. It was just the most phenomenal three race weekend I can ever remember.
It didn't disappoint in terms of excitement and drama and all that. We got what we bargained for with Daytona.
Yes, and a little bit of comedy afterwards. I do appreciate having Mr. Bubba Wallace. The whole Adderall comment he made and then Mike Joy's little retort afterwards. And he's going to be wonderful for the sport. I think he's going to win the season, and he is going to be great for the sport.
I am very glad that Richard Petty was able to make and work out a deal with him, because I think he should be racing. He proved he can obviously handle himself at Daytona, so that's awesome for the sports. You know, it was crazy last year, you know, when he was racing with Roush with their Xfinity team. I think he was sixth in the standings when they ended up pulling the plug on that deal, which you it's hard to imagine someone doing top 10 in the standings and them having to pull the plug like that. So glad he was able to get a ride. Fun.
Yeah, it's such a financially driven sport now. I just need Domino's to step up and drop Mr. Monahan a note.
Yeah, right. And then maybe they can send a check to the Lap Traffic Podcast, and we'll make them the official.
That'd be good.
We'll make them the official pizza of the show.
then we make lap traffic on the quarter panel.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't know what to do with myself if. Alrighty, sir. Well, you know, I don't know if it's because you're new to the show or what, but you've really spoiled the listeners with 2 weeks of awesome weather at Daytona.
Well, I do my best. That was an easy forecast. That was pretty easy. Even Larry Mack's weather app got that one right.
Well, what do we have coming up for Atlanta this weekend?
Friday, partly cloudy skies, mid-70s for the highs, so it'll be good for qualifying. Saturday, we have a chance of showers later in the afternoon, so the Xfinity race goes first. We have a doubleheader at Atlanta, so the truck series goes second. We're going to watch for a chance of showers in the afternoon, and that's where we stand right now. Sunday, we have a cold front approaching the region, highs in the low 70s. I'm going to just put a chance of showers and thunderstorms right now. Some of the forecast models have that system moving through, so we'd have a wet morning. We have to dry the track, and we just go into the afternoon. It is a 2:16 start with about a 6:30 sunset. Another model, one of the other forecast models, actually has a kind of stalling over the region, or it's kind of spotty showers. I think in either case, we're going to have to be prepared for delays. The Earth tightens. And I think we just be patient with it. We have to get 500 miles in, and it's a big track, and may not. I'm not sure what his drying characteristics are, but maybe the front goes through a little bit quicker, which is very possible. And then say it ends raining in the morning, and we get maybe a little later start, but definitely a chance of rain starting Saturday afternoon, late afternoon for the truck race, carrying over to Sunday.
All right, so not as. As positive as we were for Daytona, but it sounds like we'll at least get some racing in on both days, which is good. And yeah, that track has those weeper effects with that old surface. So yeah, it's definitely a pain trying to get Atlanta dry, that's for sure.
So we'll be updating through the weekend going into it. We'll have the website updated by the time the podcast is loaded.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm sure we'll be talking to each other on social media. Aaron, thanks for calling in again, for giving everyone the scoop for the weather this weekend. Everyone, make sure you go follow Aaron at Race Weather on Twitter to get all the up-to-the-date weather predictions and scoop heading into the weekend as we get closer to Atlanta. Aaron, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk soon.
Brandon, great talking to you. Talk soon.
Always. See ya.
Bye.
All right. What do you say? I think it's time we crank up the Wave Around hotline and get to your phone calls from you guys. Get your picks for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down from Daytona. The official Wave Around hotline number is 248-965-9538. Make sure you store that. All right. Let's crank this bad boy up one more time. Lap traffic, who's this?
Hey, it's Brian from Ontario. What's going on, Professor?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Yeah, recovering from Sunday. How about yourself? Did you enjoy that roundy round we enjoyed?
Oh, man, I lost track of the miles, the cautions, you name it, man. It was intense.
It was intense. Me and my buddy were standing 2 feet in front of the screen with 9 to go, screaming for Matt D to run to the front.
Hell yeah, that would have been so cool. So cool.
Man, him and Brendan gone, like, what a show.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
I
got to apologize first. Hang on. Can I give you an apology first?
Sure. Apologize right, well, first the other and then night, commit the crime.
That's right. So the other night, you had a little hockey tilt down at the, I want to say the Joe, but it's not the Joe.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And my boys come across the border and handed your Red Wings a bad, bad loss. I'm really sorry about that, buddy.
That's all right. You know, it's funny, like you talk hockey and I could pick up the Canadian accent, like. That must be a thing. Like, whenever Canadians start talking hockey, they got to emphasize the O's and the Y's.
Really? All right. I'll pay attention.
Hockey. It's hockey.
Right? Hockey with an A. Yeah, we don't tell you guys, we don't tell you Americans that. We just let you think it's hockey, but it's actually hockey.
All right, brother. Who is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
Lucky dog for the weekend's got to be Bubba. And you know what? He drives a Ford. Oh, no, he's driving a Chevy.
He is driving a Chevy.
So I'm switching from Junior Nation to a little Bubba Nation, I believe.
Okay. All right. And who are you putting a lap down?
I'm putting Denny down. He drove him right into the wall. It was so obvious. Everybody's mad that Bubba cut down a tire. Well, you know what? Bubba had a run on him, and Denny turned him into the wall, plain and simple. Watch the replay.
You know, Denny's not making fans with the new up-and-comers, is he?
No. Well, his comment prior to the race that he's the best plate racer that's ever been, you know, or in the field today. Sorry, don't think so, Denny.
Twitter was definitely a blow with some of his comments in terms of how many 10,000s of races he's raced in. That was
no, I know. And funny. He's still hunting. He's still hunting the championship.
Yes, he is. Yes,
that's right.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in, and I look forward to your call next Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
You got it, Brandon. First come, first serve.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again. We'll talk to you later.
All right, my friend. Take care.
See ya. All right. We got another call coming in. Lap traffic. Who's this?
It's Andrew Campion. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Excellent. What'd you think of the racing this weekend?
Kind of a, you know. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it was a shit show for sure.
Oh, you could say it. It's a podcast.
Yeah, it definitely was.
It, you know, opinions coming in through Twitter, and you know, it's people love it or hate it, and there's not a lot in between. And it was definitely Daytona. That's what we got. We got Daytona racing.
You can put me on the hate it list for sure.
Duly noted. Duly noted. All right, man. Who is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
I got to say, all the storylines we got really do have a lot of storylines going into the season. Hopefully, get some good momentum going forward. I think
there is some buzz around the sport. That is for sure.
Yeah, you know, in more ways than one. So we'll see how that plays out going forward.
Absolutely. All right. Who are you putting a lap down?
I'm going to put Denny Hamlin a lap down. You're acting like a tool today on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. I saw a little bit of it. You're not the first person, let me tell you.
I probably might not be the last either.
Safe bet. Oh, happy belated 21st birthday, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I got a memory. My wife would disagree with that, but I got a memory. very cool, my man. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Make sure you call in next week, too.
Yeah, no problem, man. All right. Have a good one. Thanks, man.
We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Good.
Lap traffic. Who's this?
This is Brad Yunker.
Oh, you are not welcome on the lap traffic hotline, waiver on hotline, sir.
Oh, thanks. In that case, can I order a pizza?
I'll take one large pepperoni, extra cheese.
That's right. Put it all on there.
How are you, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Just trying to enjoy the warm weather for a day anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What'd you think of the race, man?
Yeah. there was some good parts of it.
Right. Like being in the NASCAR man cave, right?
Well, that part, yeah, we had a good time there. That's right. Yeah, they did. I mean, it was somewhat of a typical restrictor plate race. You know, I get tired of hearing everybody complaining and whining about that type of racing and everything.
It's funny. Earlier in the show, I mentioned something that you said on Sunday was, if you tell me I can't fit my car there, I'm going to put it there. So
that's right.
It changed my perspective on plate racing. I got to be honest. I mean, coming from a driver, you got to respect that.
my PR guy even on his own Facebook page said something about adding downforce to the cars. And I said, no. I said, don't change the rules. I said, make them drive the cars. I said, no matter what you do, crew chiefs are going to push the setup on the car as with the rules as far as they could possibly go, no matter what you do. And a driver is always going to find any way he can to get up into that next position. So you got to stop changing things and make the drivers, here's your car, drive it.
Well, you know, I think that's why people love Bristol, Martinsville, Sonoma, and Watkins Glen so much, because that's what they have to do. There's nothing really that they can do to the cars to get that advantage out of the car. It's driver skill, right, at those tracks.
Yep. Yeah, that, you know, I... Well, it's hard to say. I got mixed emotions on the finish, but you know, I did tell my daughter, because she was mad about it and everything else. I did tell her, you know what? In a way, I can't, you know, disagree with the ending, because I probably would have done the same thing.
Right?
I said, it's the Daytona 500. I said, you can't tell me you are not going to do something to mess that guy up in front of you and get by him.
Right. All right. Well, you're on the Wave Around hotline, so you got to make some picks. Who is your lucky dog of the race, Brad?
Oh, my gosh. My lucky dog. Heck, I would have to say it was probably Austin Dillon. Right place, right time.
Hey, right? And who are you putting a lap down?
I'm going to put... there's a list of those. let's see here. Lap down.
That's like someone what went wrong that you didn't like, or someone didn't do something you like that they deserve to lose a lap.
Oh. Well, Denny Hamlin.
Hey,
I'll give that one to Denny.
We're 3 for 3 tonight with that. So you're right there.
I mean, I understand his tire went down at the end, but dude, you're on Twitter and everything else. Just shut up. Stop talking. You're not, no matter what he's done, he has. It's kind of like Kyle Busch during the race. No matter what Kyle Busch did, something went wrong to make it worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Denny, I mean, you know, you're really down on the ground and getting kicked when you're 3 laps down and they give you a speeding penalty.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's real bad. That's really bad.
Yeah.
Oh. Alrighty, brother.
Denny just can't stop talking now, and you know.
Yeah, he's digging a deeper grave, that's for sure.
So yeah.
That's for sure. Alrighty, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks all for right, calling in. Bud. All right, we'll talk to you.
Good talk to you.
See ya. Bye. All right. Well, let's get to some tweeted responses. Tim at TTrip14's lucky dog is a number 3 for getting another fluke win. Lap down Almirola for almost winning the 500. Kathleen at KHI fans lucky dog Bubba for running up front all day. Lap down the bump seen round the world for the win. Almost like the slam heard round the world at WrestleMania 3. William at William Soquiet's lucky dog Reddick in the Xfinity along with Garrett Smithley. Lap down Byron. Rough debut. Yes, it was. Scott at Scotty Styles 29 lucky dog Dylan. He missed all those wrecks, made the moves on the last lap, even though it was a controversial win to the 500. Lap down Byron started in the back and wrecked twice. Lisa at LL Chanana's lucky dog is Bubba with all the press and the stress from this first full-time ride at the 500. He did good. Lap down Matt DiBenedetto. He was so close to that top 5. John Elliott at Dean Ader's lucky dog. New full-time ride in second place for Bubba. Lap down NASCAR on Fox. 2 laps down actually for them because of their 2 green flag commercial breaks with 20 to go with the race. Our friends over at MOATF Podcast, lucky dog Blaney, even though he didn't win, he drove well all race, and in their opinion, which is fact, he should have won. Lap down the number 3. I hate it when people win like that and then have the cheek to say that's Daytona for you. Good friend Mick at GoDucks42_Mick, lucky dog has to be Dylan. He made it to the end. Lap down Chip Ganassi Racing. Both cars had a horrible speed weeks. Yes, they did. All right, that's going to do it for another segment of the Lucky Dog. Big thanks to Brian, Andrew, and Brad for calling in. The waiver on hotline is there Tuesday nights. Feel free to call in. It'll be a work in progress to get in a rhythm with everybody, especially with the Twitter notification timelines refreshing so quickly. I'll try to stick as close as possible to a consistent time, but that'll vary with interviews and such. But feel free, call in, voice your opinion. It's your chance to bring the fan podcast to you, the fans of the sport and of the show. So again, big thanks to everyone for calling in. Make sure you store the number. 248-965-9538. My bad for tweeting out the wrong number early on there. But again, 248-965-9538 is the phone number for the Wave Around Hotline. All right, so silly me, my uncle's been sitting here this whole time, and I forgot to get his pick for the Lucky Dog. So about to give his Lucky Dog picks. One of the reasons why I am the NASCAR fan that I am is my uncle. All right, Matt, who is your Lucky Dog and lap down picks?
First off, kudos to the Lap Traffic podcast and the growth that I've witnessed over the many, many years since I introduced you to NASCAR way back when. I'm not sure the wife is all that thrilled about me, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, Lucky Dog, you know what? Luckiest guy ever. I'm giving it to 66-year-old Mark Thompson, racing in the Daytona 500, coming home 22nd. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
And your lap down?
Lap down, you know, everybody's been saying Denny Hamlin. I'm going to go with Stenhouse Jr. because I quit counting how many wrecks he caused since Thursday. So there you go.
I love it. I love it. Got to get some more guests in the man cave when we do the show. Maybe we can make that happen going forward. All right. Now it is time to recap the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Just a reminder, picks are due Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, pick a series regular for that specific series. Make sure you check the standings and your points. Points will be up Monday or Tuesday. They've been up for a few days. They're on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Make sure everything is correct for your score. It's possible to make a mistake, and it'll be much easier to fix it during the week before we get to the next week. So once we get to the next week, points will be final. Big thanks again to Mick for helping out. And let's see here. All right, we had 19 players pick Johnny Sauter for the truck win. We had 2 players pick Tyler Riddick for the Xfinity win. No one picked Austin Dillon. That said, out of all 61 players, only Chloe Yunker picked both the truck and Xfinity winner. So nice job, Chloe, on those picks. From a standings perspective, we got a 4-way tie for first with 141 points with Braxton Crisp, John Ettenwise, Paul Hollenbeck, and Tommy Witt. In second place with 135 is J.D. Pierce. In third place is Jeremy Kesley with 125. We got a 2-way tie for fourth with Stacy Coleman and Tasha Schnuck. We got a 2-way tie for fifth with 116 between Jeff Hess and Chloe Yunker. Lisa Chinana is in sixth with 114. Jamie Rowden and Mike Linville are in a 2-way tie for seventh with 110. Aaron Lamp is in eighth with 109. Andrew Kantsian and Chris Coble are in ninth. And so is Matt Fossum. 3-way tie for ninth with 105. And Robert Armstrong is in 10th with 99 points. I expect these standings to shake up throughout the season. Don't forget, there's 3 stages. So after
after 13 races, we'll clear out the points and we'll line them back up and start from scratch. But we'll also keep a cumulative total. If you haven't heard about the prizes, check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy link, scroll all the way down, and you'll see those along with the rules. My picks for Daytona did not go so well. Matt Crafton in the truck race finished 19th. Daniel Hemric finished 26th. And Kevin Harvick finished 31st. And I'm not even going to say what place I am in. All right. It's time for the picks. This week, we head to Atlanta, where last year, Kevin Harvick dominated the race, but ended up falling short to Brad Keselowski, who got the checkered flag. Does the defending race winner do it again? Casey Kane finished fourth last year and won back in 2014. Does he cross the finish line in his new ride at LFR? Jimmy Johnson won in both 2015 and 2016. Does he get some revenge from his brutal speed weeks? Or do the young guns like Bowman, Elliott, or Blaney start making some noise early in 2018? Over to the truck series. My pick is Daytona winner Johnny Sauter. I think he goes back-to-back and gets it done. Over to the Xfinity race, I'm taking Cole Custer, who just announced today that he's going to be making his Cup debut at Las Vegas. And over to the Cup race, I am going with Super Speedway fan from 2017, Kyle Larson, who got it done at Fontana and both Michigan races last year. I look for him to make some big noise this Sunday at Atlanta and a rebound from Daytona. Those are my picks. Don't forget to send yours in if you're playing in the Fantasy League. And if you're not, you can still join the action. Send some tweets over on the Twitter handle at LapTrafficPC. All right, everyone, that's going to do it for episode 57 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was a blast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. 2018 is going to be awesome for season two of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like it on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Continue to retweet, share to your friends, tell your friends. Make sure everyone's listening to the show. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks. Huge props to Tyler Reddick for calling in. Big thanks to all the listeners that called into the Wave Around Hotline. Major props to Mr. Matt Crowd for joining me in the NASCAR Man Cave this weekend. Next week, still working on a guest, but I'm sure we'll get someone. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!